breaking news. Coronavirus on the Jason Rant Show.
Good afternoon. We join in progress as President Donald Trump is speaking at a press conference for today's coronavirus task force. Here is the president live.
We discussed it to that extent, but it's certainly something we could discuss. We're getting certainly the number of masks that you need. We are in the process of talking about things. I saw his suggestion on that. So we'll take a look at it for a period of time, not forever. I mean, you know, we want our country back. We're not going to be wearing masks forever, but it could be for a short period of time after we get back into gear. I could see something like that happening for a period of time. But I would hope it would be a very limited period of time. Doctors, they'll come back and say for the rest of our lives we have to wear masks.
The roadmap also talks about doing GPS for social distancing, maybe following people's phones, and hotels for isolation for people, giving them free hotel rooms. Are those ideas that you're looking at?
Well, the GPS, that's a very severe idea. I've been hearing about a GPS. So what happens? A siren goes off if you get too close to somebody? That's pretty severe, but he's somebody. He was with me for a long time. He worked. They did a great job at FDA. So we're taking a look. I just received it a little while ago. He sent it over. So very good. Go ahead. Let's give it a shot.
What do you say to Americans who are upset with you over the way you downplayed this crisis over the last couple of months? We have it very much under control in this country. The coronavirus is very much under control in the USA. It's going to disappear. It's like a miracle. It will disappear. At March 4th, we have a very small number of people in this country infected. March 10th, we're prepared. We're doing a great job with it. It will go away. Just stay calm. It will go away. What do you say to Americans who believe that you got this wrong?
And I do want them to stay calm. And we are doing a great job. If you look at those individual statements, they're all true. Stay calm. It will go away. You know it is going away. And it will go away. And we're going to have a great victory. And it's people like you and CNN that say things like that, that it's why people just don't want to listen to CNN anymore. You could ask a normal question. The statements I made are, I want to keep the country calm. I don't want panic in the country. I could cause panic much better than even you. I would make you look like a minor league player. But you know what? I don't want to do that. I want to have our country be calm and strong and fight and win. And it will go away. And it is incredible, the job that all of these people are doing, putting them all together, the job that they're doing. I am very proud of the job they're doing, that Mike Pence is doing, that the task force has done, that Honeywell and Procter & Gamble and Mike and all of these people have done. I'm very proud. It's almost a miracle, and it is, the way it's all come together. And instead of asking a nasty, snarky question like that, you should ask a real question. And other than that, I'm going to go to somebody else. Please, go ahead, please.
You expressed some concern in the past that medical supplies were going out the back door and that perhaps some hospitals were doing things worse.
Well, I expressed what was told to me by a tremendous power in the business. He said that at a New York hospital. For a long period of time, he was giving 10,000, maybe maximum 20,000 masks over a short time. And all of a sudden, he's giving 300,000. And I said, no matter how bad this is, could that be possible? He said, no. So there's only a couple of things that could happen. Is it going out the back door? And I've reported it to the city and let the city take a look at it. But when you go from 10,000 masks to 300,000 masks, Mike, over the same period of time, there's something going on. Now, I'm not making any charges, but when everyone's looking for masks, and by the way, that's another thing, we're making a lot of masks, and the sterilization process is going to save a lot of time and a lot of masks. But when you have the biggest distributor of product that distributes to many of the big hospitals and hospital chains, and he brings up a statistic like that, and I know you're trying to make a big deal out of it, but you shouldn't be. You should actually go over to the hospital and find out why. You shouldn't be asking me. I'm just saying that's the way it is. You should go over there as a great reporter. I have no idea who you are, but that's okay. You should go over there, go to the hospital, and find out how come you used to get 10,000 masks and you had a full hospital. New York City, always full. And how come now you have 300,000 masks despite the virus and all, you have three. How do you go from 10 to 300,000? And this is very serious stuff. I mean, I could see from 10 to 20 or from 10 to 40 or 50 or something. But how do you go from 10 to 300,000 masks? So what I think you should do is I'm sure you're a wonderful investigative reporter. You should go to the hospital and find out why. Okay, yeah.
Asking your DOJ to look into it, sir?
Steve, please. Well, it's so bad for the economy, but the economy is number two on my list. First, I want to save a lot of lives. We're going to get the economy back. I think the economy is going to come back very fast. Steve's just asking about the economy. What's it like? We basically shut down our country. And we did that in order to keep people separated, keep people apart. They're not working in offices. They're not in airplanes together. You know, we really shut it down. And, you know, 150, 151 other countries are pretty much shut down. But here we had the greatest economy in the world. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country. And I had to go from doing a great job for 3 years to shutting it down. But you know what? We're going to build it up, and we're going to build it up rapidly. And I think in the end, we'll be stronger for it. We learned a lot. We learned a lot. And I have to say, we've had great relationships with a lot of countries. China sent us some stuff, which was terrific. Russia sent us a very, very large plane load of things, medical equipment, which was very nice. Other countries sent us things that I was very surprised at, very happily surprised. We learned a lot. We're learning a lot. And we're also learning that the concept of borders is very important, Steve. It's very important. Having borders is very, very important. But we have done an incredible job. The economy is going to come back. My focus is saving lives. That's the only focus I can have. We're going to bring the economy back, and we'll bring it back fast. Yeah, please.
Follow up.
Go ahead.
Oh. Mr. President.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. President. You said several times that the United States has ramped up testing. Just talk a little quicker or a little louder. Mr. President, you said several times that the United States has ramped up testing, but the United States is still not testing per capita as many people as other countries like South Korea. Why is that? And when do you think that number will be on par with other countries?
Yeah, well,
and
it's very much on par. Per capita. We have areas of country that's very wide. I know South Korea better than anybody. It's a very tight. Do you know how many people are in Seoul? Do you know how big the city of Seoul is? 38 million people. That's bigger than anything we have. 38 million people, all tightly wound together. We have vast farmlands. We have vast areas where they don't have much of a problem. In some cases, they have no problem whatsoever. We have done more tests. I didn't talk about per capita. We have done more tests by far than any country in the world, by far. Our testing is also better than any country in the world. And when you look at that, as simple as that looks, that's something that's a game changer. And every country wants that, every country. So rather than asking a question like that, you should congratulate the people that have done this testing, because this administration inherited a broken system, a system that was obsolete, a system that didn't work. It was okay for a tiny, small group of people, but once you got beyond that, it didn't work. We have built an incredible system to the fact where we have now done more tests than any other country in the world. And now the technology is really booming. I just spoke to, I spoke to a lot. I'm not going to even mention. I spoke to a number of different testing companies today. And the job that they've done and the job that they're doing is incredible. But when Abbott comes out and does this so quickly, it's really unreal. In fact, one company, I have to say, that stands out in the job, and I think I can say this, I don't want to insult anybody else, but Roche. Roche has been incredible in the testing job they've done, and they're ramping it up exponentially. It's up, 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 up. And you should be saying congratulations instead of asking a really snarky question, because I know exactly what you mean by that. You should be saying congratulations to the men and women who have done this job, who have inherited a broken testing system and who have made it great. And if you don't say it, I'll say it. I want to congratulate all of the people. You have done a fantastic job, and we will see you all tomorrow. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was President Donald Trump live on the White House lawn for the coronavirus task force press conference, getting some, to be clear, he's correct. He was getting some snarky questions from folks, including Yarmish from PBS and Jim Acosta from CNN. Snarky in the sense that they are being set up, these questions are being set up to highlight a negative where a negative doesn't necessarily exist. They're going out of their way to frame stories in a way that is supposed to be damaging to the president. Now, up until this point, none of those stories have been damaging to the president. You look at the Gallup poll study that came out, 60% of Americans agree with the way this president is handling the crisis. When you look at the ABC poll, it's at 51%. And so once these polling numbers came out and showed that people who are watching and listening, hopefully listening on KTTH, to these coronavirus task force press conferences, once they realize what the president is doing, the team he has behind him, they like what they hear and see. And that's when you start to get different networks or different radio stations cutting out of the coverage or not airing them at all. CNN cut out right before someone from the private sector, the CEO of MyPillow, came out and talked about the importance of prayer. I guess that triggered the folks over at CNN, so they decided to cut out. You have locally here a radio station, a competitor of ours, the NPR station KOW, deciding that they're not going to air any of the press briefings. One of their hosts on Twitter called it horse bleep. That's what they think of this president. But it's not because they disagree with what he's saying. It's because they know it's effective. And they don't like that. Now, of course, the big takeaway was more coming from yesterday's press conference than today's. Though we'll recap some of the stuff that we heard today. But yesterday, the president extended the nationwide lockdowns, as it were. They're not literal lockdowns, but guidance on what is or is not appropriate for social distancing. He decided to extend it until at least the end of April.
You know, interestingly, you know, we showed him the data. He looked at the data and he got it right away. It was a pretty clear picture that Dr. Debbie Birx and I went in together in the Oval Office and leaned over the desk and said, here are the data. Take a look. He looked at them, he understood them, and he just shook his head and said, I guess we got to do it.
How weird is that? Dr. Anthony Fauci saying exactly what we've heard him and Dr. Deborah Birx say for the last several weeks. The media is out there saying that the president ignores the scientists, doesn't listen to the experts. And he said yet again, yes, the president is actually listening to the experts. And that's why we're going to continue nationwide status quo. Now, depending on where you live, it's going to be a little bit different, right? Here in Washington State is going to be different than in Nebraska. We heard from Governor Jay Inslee earlier today. He unbelievably decided to do his press conference at the exact same time as the president. And he made a note that you should probably expect that we're going to extend the stay-at-home order here in Washington State.
Now, our focus remains on educating the public while these orders remain in effect. And we don't know how long that's going to be. And I've previously said that these orders might have to be extended, and that certainly remains the case given the continued growth of this virus in our state.
Now, to be clear, in the Seattle area, we've seen some positive numbers. We've seen some numbers start to slow down. Now, whether or not that stays is unknown at this point. We do believe that we're going to get that spike in about the middle of April. That's what the experts say. But as of right now, the numbers are looking pretty good. But there is a need for folks to listen to the governor, to listen to the president, and actually stay home. Now, I have to say, I did 3 days, 4 nights, being very hardcore and not actually leaving my apartment.
Well, it's because you're a scaredy cat. That's why you don't leave your apartment.
Yes, I'm terrified of everything. No, it's because I'm one of the people who could potentially be susceptible because I have asthma, and I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get sick
period. It has nothing to do with the coronavirus. I'm just a germaphobe, and you know that. What's the first thing Producer Peyton and I do when I get into the studio?
You spray your studio, Dad.
How long have I done that?
Since day one. Okay. But you had swine flu. You are a survivor.
I had swine flu. I survived the swine flu, and I remember how bad it was. That was the worst experience of a flu I ever had, and this is supposed to be worse. So I've decided to take this very seriously. We did the show from home on Friday. I did. You didn't. You still had to come
in. I don't care
about you. But, I mean, I was on the talent, so I was protected. So I stayed indoors basically from Thursday night after the last show we did from the studio into yesterday. And I got to say, I was definitely feeling stir crazy. It's not so much that you don't have access to other people, because I was texting and I did not do the virtual Zoom stuff where people are having happy hour over webcam.
I did two of those this weekend.
But it's because you're an alcoholic. It's just weird to me. I don't quite understand it. But I was like, I got to get out of here. And the one thing that I don't think is being promoted by the city or the state is something that I think makes total sense, which is not just wandering around, because that's not necessarily safe. It depends on where you're going and how many people are there. Go into your car and go for a drive. I went for a drive. I played music really, really loudly. I had the windows down. It was nice yesterday. And I drove for like 30, 45 minutes. I was taking photos I was doing for my blog just to get a better sense of whether or not people were listening to the stay-at-home order. That felt really good. And I know you're not allowed to promote anything having to do with driving in a car, especially in Seattle, but really in Washington State. But it was great.
You drove what? You drove the station?
I drove a station car.
No,
I took the station car. Yeah, I stole the car.
And then you took photos while you were driving?
No, I pulled over for the photos, with the exception of that one photo that I took, but we're not going to talk about
that. How fast are you going?
I was going pretty fast. I mean, it's not my car. If I get a ticket, it doesn't really go to me, does it?
I think it still does.
I think I can ride it.
It still does.
What is it going to do? I don't have regular car insurance because I don't own a car.
I'm telling Dave.
Oh, shut up. So people, for the most part, I thought, at least in the Seattle area, were being pretty good about focusing on the stay-at-home order. I thought that. Now, it wasn't perfect, but it was much better than it was before. Now, depending on where you live, and you can certainly send me a text at 1-800-465-8770, there are people who are still not taking this seriously. There are people who are not taking this seriously. And so the governor today outlined some things that might go into place if he needs to for folks who are deciding to irresponsibly gather in groups. And he has three tiers for complaints and where they could potentially go.
The first tier, if state or local authorities receive a complaint from a citizen, they're going to let people know that if they are violating the order, they really need to stop violating the order and comply with what is healthy for everyone in Washington.
Now, sometimes it means just one person getting in your face and saying, hey, you, dude, get inside. This is not right. But what happens if they still decide that they're going to ignore the guidance coming from the state, coming from the president?
The second tier, if they don't come into compliance, the state is going to take action, starting with citations, suspension notices of a variety of permits, including revoking business licenses if that's what's necessary to bring these folks into compliance.
So those are businesses that are choosing to ignore the guidance. They're choosing not to close down the way that they're supposed to. And then, of course, what about after that? What, you got to the first tier, they ignored you. The second tier, they continue to ignore you. Well, there is a third tier.
The third tier, if that is still not enough.
Tier, not till.
The third till, if that is still not enough, but local and state authorities are going to refer these complaints to the Attorney General for law enforcement, either for civil or criminal charges. We know that violating orders can amount to a gross misdemeanor.
Okay, so now will it actually get to that point? No. No. Very unlikely. I know we had the conversation on Friday. Bellevue Police Chief Steve Milette was on the show talking about that app that essentially allows, or at least the way that some blogs decided to cover it, decides to let you rat out your neighbors for violating the order. And there was some concern that cops are going to show up and put you in handcuffs or offer citations. That's not what's going to happen. There is not a single police department in this state, at least right now, that is going to even hand out tickets. That's the truth. Yes, it's there as a potential threat to people who are not going to listen. Yes, it's there for leverage. But whether we're talking about the Bellevue PD or, you know, cops in Fife, they will not be ticketing you unless you are a repeat offender and it's egregious. For the most part, they are not going to have anything whatsoever to do with enforcement. And I know that because I talk to these people. We've had King County Sheriff Mitzi Johanknik on. We've had Adam Fortney, Snohomish County Sheriff, on. We've spoken to different police departments all across the state. They have no intention of doing that. But they do probably feel the need to remind people that they could offer citations if need be. Because one person violating the rule begets another person violating the rule, and that begets two more, and then four more, and eight more. Like, it continues to go on and on. For the most part, like I said, when I was out and about this weekend in the car, which is a safe way to socially distance yourself, there were empty streets, with the exception of Capitol Hill in Seattle. There was a bunch of people out at Cal Anderson Park, and they weren't just hanging out for a few minutes to get some fresh air. They were camped out there, and this was not the homeless people. This was normal housed people. And they were camped out there. And I'm telling you, the more you see that going on, it's going to beget other people doing the exact same thing. People see one person violate the rule. They say, oh, okay, it's not that big of a deal. I'm healthy and young. Although, can I say one thing that I noticed, Producer Peyton?
I mean, it is your show.
It is
and
my show.
You do talk on this
Thank
show,
you.
So I think you should say something on it.
I shall. I noticed that there were two groups of people who were out and about the most outside of Capitol Hill. And ironically, they're the most at-risk groups. Number one, homeless people. There were a ton of homeless people out, way more than I normally see, kind of taking over certain areas and camping out more in a public face than they have in the past. Now, they are particularly at risk because there's a large portion of the population, whether we're talking about homeless in Seattle or Everett or Tacoma, there are huge numbers that have some kind of underlying health condition or an issue like alcoholism, which, according to at least one report that I saw, can make it harder for someone to get over the coronavirus. Now, if you are someone who is a vector of that disease, meaning you're the one who's passing it around, and you don't necessarily know that you even have it because you're asymptomatic, guess what? You hop on that bus, you go hang out in various places, including outside of grocery stores, and you're potentially spreading the disease to the people who are going into the grocery stores one time a week to try to protect themselves. So there's a problem there. Number two, and this I gotta be honest, I'm more upset with, way more elderly people out than there should be. And they were not going to get groceries.
Did you ask them?
Well, because they weren't carrying groceries. And I saw a group just kind of wandering around. Two of them had coffee in their hands and they were just wandering. And they were going for a walk, and I get that. You're supposed to exercise. However, if you are in the demographic that is going to be hit most seriously, the highest rate of mortality comes from your group, can't you guys hunker down completely?
No.
You have to. Do your early morning shopping at 7 a.m. because you get up at 4 a.m. Go at 7 a.m. to the grocery stores or 8 o'clock, whatever they're doing just for the at-risk groups. And on a weekend where you have to assume there's going to be more healthy people or younger people wandering around, stay at home. I get that you don't want to. I totally get it. But the more we see elderly folks out there during a stay-at-home order, the more resentment will start to grow. This was the first weekend of the stay-at-home order, okay? The first weekend. If you're already starting to get antsy about staying indoors, imagine 2 weekends from now or 4 weekends from now, because it sounds like the governor is going to extend this stay-at-home order. If you're not staying home, older individuals, when the only reason everybody is being ordered to stay home is to protect you, you're not going to like the end result, because I think there's going to be resentment that turns into completely ignoring the order. So I think that's a problem. I love all of you. I don't want to see you out at all.
You don't love everybody.
I don't love anyone, but I do know there are a lot of older people who listen to this show, and I like you so much as you give me ears and clicks on my website and subscriptions to my podcast. But no, I care about you as well. I don't want you to die. So please stay home, because even if you think it's smart, you're just going to piss off some millennial. And millennials are what? The worst. And so they're going to overreact. So do what's right for you. Do what's right for the state. Please stay home.
You know what's the third most at-risk group that wasn't staying indoors this weekend?
Talk show host with asthma.
Selfish radio host.
With asthma.
With asthma.
With asthma. I stayed home. I literally left the house for 45 minutes, and there was a fire like a block and a half away. So I went out briefly, and I took some photos, inhaled a whole bunch of smoke, couldn't breathe for all of Saturday. And that was my, I should not have gone out at all. You're listening to The Jason Rancho, 1-800-465-8770. If you text the keyword podcast, I'm going to send you a link to my podcast and, of course, Todd Herman's. Text podcast to 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho live on this Monday afternoon. Obviously, grocery stores are not going to be closed at any point during the stay-at-home order here in Washington State. And I think it should be noted that the folks who are working at these grocery stores, including listeners and the spouses of listeners who have been reaching out to us on Twitter and on our text line, they are doing so bravely, I would argue. A whole bunch of people are going into those shops. Now, hopefully they're not sick, but it's certainly possible that they're asymptomatic. And you've got people who are still showing up to work so that we all have access to food, to quality products that we need to at least stay healthy and sane during the course of this shutdown. Tiffany Sanders is a spokesperson for QFC, and she spoke with Q13.
They're on the front lines. They are working with the public day in and day out, not knowing if they're going to be infected or exposed. And so we're doing everything we can to make sure that our associates are staying safe as well as the customers.
So kudos to them and a shout out to them. They're doing really, really hard work right now, made harder because people have decided that they are going to hoard products unnecessarily. And no matter what anyone seems to say, the hoarding appears to continue. You do not need to hoard any products right now. None whatsoever. We do not have a supply chain problem. We have a problem of a whole bunch of people going into a store, buying the same products all at once, and these workers are not able to get these stocks back into the onto the shelves long enough to keep them there for the next hoarders. Nicholas Braun is one of the few people who's allowed to continue to work as he works at a grocery store. He said, yeah, right now, look, it's tough times for us. He speaks to Q13.
Everyone's been stepping up, and, you know, they say tough times don't last, but tough people do, and I think that's pretty true. It feels like in the stores we're starting to kind of get our feet back underneath us.
So what I noticed over the weekend, at least at a Whole Foods that's near my place, there was a line outside, pretty substantial line, and they were separated each by about 6 feet. And the Whole Foods was only allowing 100 people into the store at a time because they believe that that's a size where you can still be 6 feet away from one another. And this Whole Foods is a massive one, like many. This is a huge place. So for the most part, you're getting, you know, these grocery stores almost to yourself. You get in. I have a question. What if you're there and there's just one bag of hot dog buns left and someone's nearby and you need to stay about 6 feet away from them and they're not yet showing any interest in this hot dog bun, so you're kind of there and you're hovering and you're ready to jump in as soon as that person leaves? Do you decide to say, excuse me, I want to get this one last thing of buns, could you step away 6 feet? Do you violate the 6 feet rule? Or let's say you're the person who's standing there and you notice someone hovering and you look down and you realize that there's only one bag left, do you go for the bag?
Go for the bag.
Right.
And violate the rules.
So you say violate the rules. See, I would say I will just take the bag even though I don't want it, knowing that you want it because I'm a jerk. But then I'll go in and look at your groceries and be a little bit of a trade. I noticed, Producer Peyton, that you've got a roll of two-ply toilet paper over there. And you know what? I went there and I just couldn't find any.
You already touched the buns. I don't want to know.
On the bag.
I don't want the bag.
Yeah, but it's the bag.
I have to touch the bag to take it inside my house.
Yeah, but you washed your hands afterward. All of this begs the question. Here, this is kind of curious. So there was a story today at Como, and it was based on a Washington Department of Health blog that was posted. And it talked about whether or not you have to worry about the grocery store bringing the items you buy at a grocery store, bringing back coronavirus into your home. In particular, like the food that you eat, or to your point, the bag of
hot dog buns.
Like, could that be potentially covered in coronavirus? I am going to be totally honest. I don't think this blog is accurate. And I know that they're the health experts, or maybe it's not that it's not accurate. It doesn't go into enough depth because it says, you don't get COVID through takeout orders, groceries, or produce, which on its surface does not make sense to me. But let's continue to read. It says no need to disinfect your groceries. Quote, when you return home from the grocery store, please thoroughly wash your hands. But there's no reason to try to disinfect your groceries. And please don't put disinfecting chemicals like household cleaners on the food you're going to eat. Now, thank you for that. I know not to, you know, put Lysol on my shrimp that I just bought. But here's my question. When you go to a grocery store, let's say you're in the produce aisle, you're looking through the apples or avocados or whatever it is, you're squeezing to make sure that they're not bruised and whatnot. And sometimes you find one that just maybe is a little bit too hard for you, like the avocado. You know what? I need something that's a little bit more ripe. I'm not waiting 3 days for my club or Cobb salad. And so you put that one back. Then I go in and say, you know what? Here's the deal. If I get a ripe avocado today, it's going to go bad because I'm not going to eat it tonight. I know I'm going to tell you need some more healthy fats, but I'm not going to eat it. I'll wait. So then I'll grab the one that the person just put back. Normally, we don't clean avocados, but we do sometimes obviously clean fruit, unless it right? Like apples.
Of course.
The guidance doesn't say anything about cleaning or even just washing down with water any of the food that you buy, and that seems wrong to me. So even if they're not saying it, I recommend you should be doing this anyway. At least put it in water.
Yeah, this is where the people, you know, the conspiracy theory people are just going to come out full tin hat.
But I don't even think what I just said is tin hat. I think that's normal. Wouldn't you normally wash apples?
But then these people are going to be coming out. The government's telling you not to wash your fruit because your fruit can't get coronavirus, but you can.
But maybe that's the opposite. So now they're saying because they're not recommending you do it, they're not forcing you to do it, you'll do it on your own. Here's a doctor, Angela Rasmussen from Columbia University. She's a virologist. She told Como TV, you don't have to disinfect those groceries.
When you eat any kind of food, whether it be hot or cold, that food is going to go straight down into your stomach where there's a high acidity, low pH environment that also will inactivate the virus.
But that's not the part that I'm concerned with. The part that I'm concerned with is picking up that apple, holding it in my hand, putting the hand close to my face, even after washing my hands, picking up an infected, right?
Yeah.
Am I not crazy?
That apple could be a carrier of...
But could it? Or it's not?
Why wouldn't the virus live on the skin of an apple?
Some of the studies say that it lives on surfaces. It can live in the air, obviously, and in, of course, the droplets, which is just gross to think about when talking about consuming food that might have droplets on it. But I can't be the only one cautious about this.
No, I'm with you. These people are crazy. If you don't think I'm not going to wash my food... I'm going to wash my food.
I'm scrubbing it down, and I'm not going to buy that nonsense stuff you do get at Whole Foods where it's like vegetable wash. That can't be real. That's not. I'm just putting it under water.
Give me some water.
Walmart, Albertsons, Kroger are all adding now sneeze guards to their checkout lines to protect their customers from idiots who decide to sneeze in their general direction. Walmart is adding the sneeze guards to 4,700 stores here in the United States, 600 of their Sam's Club locations. That's supposed to happen in the next 3 weeks. It's adding floor decals at the checkout lines, reminding people of the 6-foot social distancing recommendation. Albertson's going to have the sneeze guards up within 2 weeks. Kroger is listed as simply saying in the coming weeks we're going to do it. For the floor decals, Target is also deciding to do that. They say in this story, Target is ceasing in-store returns and exchanges for the next 3 weeks to reduce the number of items its employees are touching. So you can't touch the boxes or the bags, but when I go to a grocery store and I pick up the hot dog buns, I'm not supposed to be worried at all.
Nope.
It just seems conflicting to me.
It is.
I will say this. I'm okay keeping the sneeze guards up forever. And also the 6 feet personal space rule of like, because, you know, some people get really close in lines. The only time they don't is when they have a big shopping cart, and that's, it's not 6 feet, but it gives you at least 3 to 4 feet of buffer. But sometimes people get all close to you, like, get off me. You know, what are you looking? Stop it. You're touching me. You're breathing on the back of my neck. Hopefully this part will stay with us post-coronavirus. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message, weigh in on anything that we're talking about. If you have any questions concerning the coronavirus and recommendations coming from the health experts, we will do whatever it is we can to make sure you have all of the information. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, Joe Biden is speaking. And that means we're about to play some really funny stuff. Because when he speaks, he has a tendency to say stupid things like, do you know where the coronavirus started? What province? Do you know?
I don't.
Say it.
Wuhan.
Nope, it's not Wuhan, according to Joe Biden. We'll give you the answer when we come back. It's a Jason Ranch Show. Welcome back to the Jason Ranch Show. We are live on this Monday afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a subscriber to the podcast. If you're not, that's okay. I mean, I'm going to low-key shame you later on in the show, but text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770. Not only are you able to listen to parts of the show that you missed, but we also do some special content that's exclusive just to the podcast subscribers. So whether you're on iPhone or an Android, you can get your podcast, get this podcast wherever it is you get your others. So just search Jason Ranch Show on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, wherever it is, or just text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770. Joe Biden was on MSNBC today in a very long and bizarre interview. It just was, all of his interviews are crazy. At one point, he very clearly is looking down at written notes and literally reading, and you can hear him shuffling the paper around. But I guess there's some breaking news today.
And when it all started in Wuhan province, and what happened?
So the coronavirus did not start in the Wuhan province. It's Wuhan. I kind of feel like that's an important piece of information. Not because there's an actual Wuhan province. My assumption is there's not. But dude is running for president and doesn't know this one particular important piece of information. I will give him credit for acknowledging that it started in China, although Wuhan maybe is a country, province in another country.
No, I found Wuhan.
Where is it?
Wuhan is a Chinese singer. So he had music on the mind.
Or now he's putting coronavirus on this poor singer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a good look, Joe.
That's you know, that's racist.
Because I wanted to see where the province actually is, but no. It's a Chinese singer and actor.
Wuhan is not patient zero with coronavirus, Joe. So he goes on, and what was interesting in all of this was a 23-second clip in which Joe Biden decided to go after President Trump for quote-unquote campaigning.
Just, Mr. President, let's get things done. Let's put the politics aside. You know we need more of everything. Why are you not insisting it be produced and demanding using your presidential authority to get it done? Right. Nobody disagrees with that.
Well,
get it done. Step up and do your job. Stop campaigning.
Stop campaigning. How exactly did Joe Biden end this interview?
Well, thanks for giving me the time.
Thank
so
you.
So they don't wonder where I am.
The dude is literally in the middle of a campaign interview telling the president not to campaign. Now, I don't think the president is quote-unquote campaigning. These aren't campaign rallies. We can't simply argue that every time the president does a press briefing and gives an update that it counts as quote-unquote campaigning. If that's the case, then everything he does is part of the campaign and it doesn't mean anything anymore. You cannot, with a straight face, argue that President Trump is campaigning while you're in the middle of an actual campaign interview. Joe Biden is not an expert in any of this. The only reason he's doing that interview is because he's in the middle of a campaign to defeat the president. The president is talking about this because, wait for it, he is the president. This is just absolutely absurd. And of course, no one at MSNBC will dare call out Joe Biden because they're rooting for him. They want him to win. They actually want him to win. And they don't care that in the middle of an interview, someone makes such a ridiculous statement that should be called out for its hypocrisy on its face. They don't care because they want to help him defeat Donald Trump. That's what this is all about. On Meet the Press yesterday, Chuck Todd, also interviewing Joe Biden, who again is only there campaigning, whether or not the president has blood on his hands for the handling of the coronavirus crisis.
Do you think there is blood on the president's hands considering the slow response? Or is that too harsh of a criticism?
I think that's a little too harsh.
Even Joe Biden says it's too harsh. And then also, Nancy Pelosi jumping in on this. She was on CNN with Jake Tapper. Does not get any pushback on these horrific comments.
How sad it is that even since the president's signing of the bill, the number of deaths reported has doubled from 1,000 to 2,000 in our country. This is such a very, very sad time for us. So we should be taking every precaution. What the president, his denial at the beginning.
Denial at the beginning. He stopped flights from China. He was called by the candidate from your side, Joe Biden, inevitable candidate. He was called racist for it. Folks on the left said it's not necessary, that it won't mean anything. It will do absolutely nothing. It's wrong. It's xenophobic. That was what you guys said. But he didn't act quick enough.
It was deadly. His delaying of getting equipment to where it continues, his delay in getting equipment to where it's needed is deadly.
His delay? You delayed the stimulus package that was going to be ready and voted in Sunday night of last week. But you decided to jump in at the last moment after a weekend of bipartisan talks, where Chuck Schumer at that point said everything was going along swimmingly. But you wanted to add stuff having to do with the Green New Deal because you saw some leverage since the Republicans didn't have the votes because members of the Senate were in quarantine for exposure to the coronavirus. And of course, Jake Tapper doesn't say, whoa, 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 slow your roll for a second. Didn't you have something to do with the delay? Nothing. He just lets her continue. Because they like her message.
And now I think the best thing would be to do is to prevent more loss of life rather than open things up so that, because we just don't know. We have to have testing, testing, testing. That's what we testing. Said from the start before we can evaluate what the nature of it is in some of these other regions as well. I don't know what the purpose of that is. I don't know what the scientists are saying.
You don't know what the scientists are saying? I know what the scientists are saying. We hear them literally every single day. And they're saying the same thing over and over and over again. You just don't want to listen. You want to instead attack the president. And you will do so knowing that no one at CNN or MSNBC will stop you because they support your message. We're going to continue this conversation on the coronavirus when we come back. It's the Jason Rand Show.